Hello, today is March 3rd, and it's not quite the start of spring, but it's close.
It's not that close.
It's like 2 weeks away. Hope you all had a really good leap day. Today we're doing government, and I've immediately forgotten the other category. Was it security?
It was social media.
Oh, I knew it was an S. Instantly forgot.
Every week is a struggle to put less effort into the news.
Oh.
So, starting with the FCC, even though that's not the biggest story, but we always start with the FCC if we possibly can. And maybe we shouldn't have even bothered because this is an empty story.
FCC proposes hefty fines for carriers that fail to protect your location data. AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon face $200 million in fines for sharing consumer data with third parties. Only they're not actually going to collect on this fine. This is all just a dog and pony show.
And 200 million?
Well, you might be thinking
That's like nothing for them.
that's 200 million per. No, that's 200 million cumulative. Now, everybody's favorite last named FCC board person, I don't know what her title is, Jessica Rosenworcel, has spoken out, as she usually does, as the only voice of reason, and said, "Look at their profits. This is a fraction of their profits. This is not even a slap on the wrist. This is a gentle caress." And
I think Rosenworcel might be a fan of the Level One News. Rosenworcel for President 2020? I don't know.
Something tells me she's never seen it.
I find that hard to believe.
But I'm a fan of her, and not just because of her exciting last name.
But that is a reason.
That's actually like 60%. And if we talk about the problems with government, that leads perfectly into this, which of course is the NSA phone surveillance. Everybody's talked about it till, it's just been exhausted. But now, through some Freedom of Information, we actually have the records of what it did for us. So we gave up so much privacy. One of the biggest giving up of privacy instances in the history of the civilized world. And what did we get in return?
The Hill says that the NSA phone surveillance program that cost $100 million yielded one major investigation, according to this report. Now, when you read it and dive into it, there were actually three people that were tagged by this program, but the FBI knew about two of the three of them. What could you do with a tenth of $1 billion?
I could probably run some healthcare for a little while.
Probably could, get some coronavirus masks and stuff like that, maybe,
How about
possibly.
screening?
How about just like chip away a tiny flake of that massive debt hanging over all of our heads? How about that?
They're letting us mortgage the future, and we're going to be dead by the time that they go to collect. What could possibly go wrong?
So, money well spent. I'm sure that, they didn't just make stuff up and get, nice new furniture for their office or a new coffee maker. I bet there's Keurig machines on every floor of that building now.
I gotta think, meanwhile, if you're a terrorist, you're looking at this and it's like, doesn't this mean that we won? Like, we're collapsing the world's
They've got a
strongest.
mission accomplished banner somewhere.
It's like they didn't even do anything useful and they spent $100 million.
Are you saying that alongside the war on poverty and the war on drugs, we've now also lost the war on terror? Wow.
It's
Seems
bold.
like seems like it's hard to declare war on a thing that's not another country, just a concept. But one thing that you can declare war on is China, and that is popular. A lot of people are doing it, especially in the US government. And of course, Huawei is our little proxy. Huawei is the Vietnam of our current war with China. And we just keep hitting them. Keep dropping. We're carpet bombing with napalm over Huawei.
Senate unanimously approves a bill to ban the purchase of Huawei equipment with federal funds. Now, some of our earlier Huawei reporting was kind of like put up or shut up. They have actually put up some evidence of Huawei sort of wanting to bug their equipment, but isn't that also true of like Cisco?
Yeah, everybody's bugging, but it's who you're bugging for that matters.
I thought the much better story this week was the one that we're going to talk about the why. Like, we actually have a story in the security section, not this episode, where we're going to talk about the why, because that was leaked. It's like, why do we publish malware from Russia? And it's kind of related to this, even though this is sort of a tangent. But yeah, if you get federal funds for things, you can't buy Huawei equipment with it.
But not just that, because this pointed out something a little bit further, which they actually used the phrase, and I wonder if it's because they're excited about the release of Doom Eternal. The phrase is rip and replace, where you will actually get money to tear out Huawei equipment, put something else in there.
It's a heavy metal music.
The problem is the Huawei equipment is the cheapest equipment, and this lowest bidder system that we have is what happens when the lowest bidder doesn't have an economic interest in supplying you the equipment. Like, the lowest bidder can happily take a loss because someone else is paying them to install the equipment somewhere else. That sounds like a problem.
Indeed, it will be a problem. Huawei responded and said, "You're screwing the rural people in your country. Why are you doing this?" And there's probably some truth to that.
And the rural people were like, "We're already being screwed. Just do it again. It doesn't matter."
Yeah, like, we might as well just set fire to our homes and just, you know, move to a larger city because... Not really, but that's what they want.
Huawei is not the only Chinese company that's taking the heat. If you are anywhere near the Chinese Communist Party at this point, the U.S. hates you, and they will attack you on the periphery.
TSA bans employees from using TikTok. That's right. If you work for the TSA, you cannot use TikTok. The reason for this is because the TSA has never endorsed or done anything with TikTok, and apparently some people posted stuff to TikTok in a TSA uniform. That was what it originally caused them to get their knickers in a twist. So they just sort of preemptively put out a thing that's like, not only do we not have any kind of social media presence on TikTok, don't use it. Unlike, say, Twitter. It seemed like the spokesperson was kind of relating TikTok to Twitter. It's like, oh yeah, the TSA does have a Twitter account, but we do not have a TikTok account. It's like, what? Okay.
I think the workers actually put out some, it's like, this is how we do the TSA, you know? This is how the
how it works.
Thing is made, and people, and they're like, no, we don't show people that.
One of the links I saw was like it was an empty airport, and the TSA workers were like dancing to some music video and like through the X-ray machines, and it was like
good use of our tax dollars.
The lymphoma shuffle, as they call it. Sometimes you get a news story and it's, you know, it's a here's the word that everybody hates, dystopian, when the meth dealer is the hero of the story. He's the one you're rooting for. But
Core says removing a police GPS tracker from your car is not theft. So there is a drug dealer, and I can't say it. I have to say alleged drug dealer, actual legit drug dealer.
Well, they found the drugs.
Yeah. Well, they found the... Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Why did they find the drugs? They found the drugs because a judge signed a warrant that said, we think the drug dealer stole our GPS tracker. The problem is that the drug dealer found the GPS tracker on their vehicle. It's not labeled as to who it belongs to. And so they just took it from their vehicle and put it inside. So, and it stopped reporting. And so the police successfully convinced a judge somewhere to give them a search warrant to look for the GPS tracker, and lo and behold, they found drugs.
A lot of drugs.
A lot.
And yeah. Money.
So, but this drug dealer is going to have that conviction thrown out because the search warrant wasn't valid.
We don't know that yet, but if he has a lawyer who has a higher education than kindergarten, he should be able to get that thrown out, which is kind of unfortunate because, you know, this was a terrible meth dealer. But at the same time, it's more important that we don't allow the police to just
search us willy-nilly.
Yeah, there's something wrong on a fundamental level if the judge is like, okay, I mean, that tracks. It's like they took the GPS. But you think about all the other possible futures. Like, what if they put, you know, property of such and such police department on the surveillance tracker? Would that have been, you know, I don't know.
No, I think because the judge said, you know, we're entering into a crazy thing here where you tell me that I'm not allowed to remove something that someone else attached to my car.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody inserts something into your home and then just for using it, you can go to jail. Satellite television. Apple has had a bit of a roller coaster recently with court decisions. Some have gone their way. Others have not. And when a decision doesn't go your way and you're Apple, what do? you tie it up in the appellate court for the better part of a decade and do everything you can not to pay it. But once again, they've lost.
U.S. Supreme Court rejects Apple appeal in a patent fight with Vernet X. So Apple owes, what, like $400 million?
Vernet X?
I don't know.
I read it as Vernet X as well.
Vernet X, as in Generation X.
VMnet.
So Vernet, whatever their name is, has VPN patents. And Apple was like, ooh, these are nice. Let's use these for FaceTime. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Apple's defense here is like, man, we haven't even used those since 2012.
Bro. So,
but you've been holding this up in court. So, yeah, they've lost another one. I'm sure they'll pay a tiny, tiny sum of money. Oh, actually, they said it. What was it, like $400 million?
I think it was like $400 million, yeah.
Which is 440.
Really not a lot of money for Apple.
Yeah, wow.
With its $80 billion in the bank.
Although, after this Corona quarter, they might have to start counting their pennies. And by that, I mean millions of dollars. Another lawsuit that was rejected, or actually not rejected, it was settled, but it was not settled in the way that PragerU wanted. I've never heard of PragerU. No. I know we did this story back in the day, but I still don't know exactly what PragerU does, except they're right wing.
First Amendment doesn't apply on YouTube. Judge rejects PragerU lawsuit. So basically, PragerU can restrict YouTube can restrict PragerU videos because it's a private forum, the court has ruled. They were trying to make the argument that YouTube was a public square. This has actually already gone to court in the U.S. There's a lot of precedent for this, which is why we always joke about it. It's like, it's a private forum. Private forum can do whatever they want. There's no First Amendment thing because the government's not involved, which is also the unfortunate, terrible loophole where law enforcement can, you know, go to Google and be like, well, we can't normally do all this terribly unconstitutional search and seizure. But if people voluntarily give that up to Google and then we get it from Google, that's a business record.
This is one of those times where both sides are going to be angry about this,
yeah,
depending on. But here's a little analogy I'll give you that should show you that you're looking at politics like sporting events. Forcing YouTube, a private company, no matter how powerful and evil they are, to host video is kind of like forcing someone to bake a cake.
Kind of like forcing someone to host troops in their house.
Didn't we fight a Revolutionary War about that?
Trump is thinking about making the companies make masks and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's some kind of law, wartime law.
Yeah, since World War II, yeah. Because that remember, it's like Singer sewing machines were making 1911s for a while, 1911 handguns. Yeah,
everybody was making... like companies that would usually make toasters making tank shells.
It was
a weird time.
Singer handguns are amazing. Like they only made a few test runs, and they were like, "You guys are so good at this, you're going to make aircraft parts." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
But I gotta wonder, with today's level of specialization, is a company that makes dresses? Actually, nobody makes dresses in the U.S., right?
But they're very small companies.
What manufacturing do we have that's going to be able to make masks?
I don't think that... I think that it would not have been a problem for 1940s America. Like, I think we would have been able to retool the factories and everything would have been fine. But I think we've lost our ability to think rationally. And nobody has any kind of, like, logistical know-how anymore. And so we would just be completely ineffectual. Like, these factories, it's like, let's retool and make masks. Nobody's going to have any idea because... nobody has ideas about the logistics of it.
Well, the government, obviously an election year, and you want to get it out there that you are doing something that people want you to do. And non-election years, you don't have to pretend that at all. But during election years, you really got to play your cards and be like, hey, look what we're doing to stop this evil. And I think that's what's going on here with Amazon.
The Ars Technica headline is, the House wants to know what Ring is doing with with footage from your house. The request for documentation digs into everything about Ring's deals with cops. So I think there is a political component to this, like you said. But I also think that it's a little bit like that thing in Always Sunny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when the waitress or whatever had her private nudes uploaded to a website. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. Oh,
what website?
But which one? Yeah. And so I think a little bit of this is information gathering to know what can be subpoenaed from Ring. So it's like, hey, law enforcement, you know, users are voluntarily giving up 24/7 video of their house. We might not give that to police, but what can police subpoena?
That's terrible. What can we have?
So there's also a Senate investigation into the same thing, and this is just an extra one. Another one.
Yeah.
So the people at Amazon have to make copies of all that stuff they've already got piled up to drop ship to Washington.
Oh.
They could never share the information.
How could we turn this legitimate crisis into some sort of political nonsense? It's just like, again, this is the logistical nightmare.
Well, this is the one you alluded to earlier, and honestly, I think this is a shocking and unexpected pragmatic thing that the military is doing. They almost never do this, but it makes a lot of sense why they would.
Internal docs show why the U.S. military pushes or publishes North Korean and Russian malware. The previously secret document obtained by Motherboard shows how and why Cybercom is publicly releasing malware from adversaries. So the article kind of, it goes into detail, but it kind of criticizes, maybe just stop short of criticizing, the fact that these intelligence services and the military basically is supplying all of this information to a company that's basically owned by Google. But then that company can assess the impact and figure out how serious some of these vulnerabilities are, because the DoD doesn't really know some of them. Like, some of them are really bad, but it's like the people at Google really know sort of clever and interesting ways that that information might be weaponized. And some of this is also to try to expose information that we don't have. So, like, maybe they will retaliate and say, oh, yeah, you know, you published that. We're going to publish this other thing. And it's like, oh, we didn't realize that was being exploited this way. So it's kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, if you just give people knowledge rather than trying to hide everything, it might be better in the end.
That's what the National Institute of Standards was supposedly doing in the late 90s when they were doing some encryption and blah, blah, blah. But some of that was co-opted in the end. So I think some things are still held back.
Well, if I told you that the Pentagon has a 5-point plan for making sure that AI doesn't become evil, your immediate question would be what?
What
on Why the Earth? Pentagon? And do I believe anything the Pentagon says?
What are the 5 points? Was where I was going for that. So after we read the headline, brace yourself for the list.
The Pentagon promises to use artificial intelligence for good and not evil.
We promise.
One of those promises is we promise to only use AI on brown people, which really scares me a little bit.
So you're thinking this is like the Asimov rules, right? This is going to be really profound. It's going to be some, like, really amazingly thought out. Well, here we go. Let's look at the list.
It is responsible. It is equitable. It is traceable. It is reliable. And it's governable.
It's just word soup.
Yeah, it's just... It means nothing.
Can you imagine, like, the people who were put on this project to, like, come up with these rules? There probably was, like, some nerd who was like, oh, let's do, like, the 5 laws of robotics. And, like, he, like, read it, and they're like, that sounds like nerd shit. We're going to do this instead.
Let's also not forget that at different times in U.S. history, our government thought it was ethical to harass Martin Luther King to try to make him commit suicide. And, like, the Tuskegee Airmen and, like, the LSD experiments that probably led to Ted Kaczynski. And, you know, the list goes on.
I think this list is just vague enough that when they inevitably do that again, they can be like, well, if you look at it from the side and squint a little bit, it matches all five of those things. So you can't put us in jail.
We program the AI to only kill brown people. I don't see what the problem here is.
And if you need an example of the U.S. government making a terrible mistake and causing someone a lot of problems and not even apologizing for it, look no further than this.
The U.S. Homeland Security mistakenly seizes British ad agency's website in prostitution probe gone wrong. They got it back, but they had to sign a disclaimer that said that they're not going to sue Uncle Sam for the terrible mistake that they made.
So this was their website. as long as that was going on, because you can get a court order and take over their DNS.
9 days.
That's a thing.
Nobody looked into it. Nobody checked. They thought they were running a prostitution ring. Turns out it was just an ad agency.
I mean, an ad agency, so I mean, yes. It was a prostitution ring, but not a sexual kind.
Can you imagine an ad agency where it's like, I pay you to leave, not...
So they had to sign the thing and say that they weren't going to sue, which you got to wonder what would happen if they'd said no to that.
Well, under U.S. law, you could say that was under duress, but I don't think that applies.
That's an international.
Yeah.
And they also had to wait for a judge to sign off on it, which is why it took 9 days. They said that they couldn't estimate what 9 days of not only downtime, but possible customers coming to their site and seeing this screen.
A lot of ad agencies have like a client login too to like manage their project, and
yeah,
that was down. So,
so and they couldn't get emails because the whole DNS was rerouted that entire time.
Man, what a nice little vacation for that ad agency.
Now,
without pay.
The obvious question is this: because the only reason that the U.S. could do this, I won't say we because I'm not part of that nonsense, but. Is because it's a .com address. And when asked, why not just get a .co.uk address, they gave the obvious answer, that's kind of a joke.
Nobody no takes one that does
seriously.
That.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wait. Is it? I guess it's going to still be .co.uk after the EU exit. I just wondered. They probably don't get to keep their .eu, do they? Have they even figured that out yet?
Probably not. There's probably somebody furiously emailing from a basement somewhere.
Warning people them. Use .eu? I guess like a government agency would, but I've never had to look that up.
Now, we've been following this story for a long time, and this is kind of the end. There's a barb at the end. That's unfortunate. But just quickly to go through the history, this guy's wife got a red light camera ticket for turning right on red. He proved that the yellow lights had been shortened illegally. In order to do that, he was then sued... Because he's not an engineer.
But he's a software engineer.
He's not state licensed. He won that court case, but then continued to fight to prove that he was right all along.
Matt Jarlstrom's victorious 6-year battle over yellow lights. The Institute of Transportation Engineers says he was right. He was right all along. So
it's a special level of pedantic, but
yeah.
So. Yeah, this is all kind of spectrum right here. But you can't take it away from him. He knew what he was talking about because these engineer, whatever this place is like, yeah, we did the math. He's right on.
He also checks did out. The math, yeah.
But at the very last line of this story, oh, it's making noise. Is it this one?
Make it stop. Make it stop.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, did I?
They can't make the change immediately.
They don't have to make the change.
So
it's a suggestion. Oh, here we go. Yeah. So they are recommendations. All that battle, and I doubt anybody will do anything about it because they make money from red light cameras. But just like everybody else arguing on the internet, he gets that sense of self-satisfaction that he was right, but it means nothing.
Do you think he tells that story at parties?
Yeah. Like, I think he's probably amazing at parties.
I don't think he goes to a lot of parties.
You don't know.
Well, the Microsoft had, in Ukraine, was working on some digital payment systems, and they hired some local people to do that, and they might not have vetted them as much as they should have.
A jury has convicted ex-Microsoft worker in digital currency scheme. So this is in Seattle. A jury on Thursday convicted former Microsoft worker of wire fraud and other charges in what prosecutors describe as a scheme to steal $10 million in digital currency. So I really think the term digital currency here is a little misleading because it seems like he interfaced with the system that allowed him to buy software online and gift cards and like Xbox Live cards. So he could buy an Xbox Live card, for example, with no money, like no real currency, and then sell that for Bitcoin. So he amassed a lot of Bitcoin. But it was really just exploiting Microsoft's system for selling software and gift cards and Xbox Live cards and crap like that.
Turns out there's a record of that.
Yeah.
We talked about the 2018 Tesla autopilot crash. This one was in California, and it was where the guy hit a divider. And there were supposed to be water barrels to stop that from being lethal, and the water barrels were empty. So he was killed. And it's taken this long, 2 long years, to figure out what actually caused the crash, but now we have a ruling.
Tesla autopilot and distracted driving to blame in the deadly 2018 crash. Short version, Tesla autopilot ceased being able to stay in the lanes because the lane lines had faded, but the exit lane lines were more prevalent than the regular lane lines, so the Tesla autopilot started to follow them. But the dude was also playing a mobile game on his phone and not paying attention. He was overconfident in how autopilot worked.
They blame both, but in Tesla's defense, you're not supposed to be doing that. But also, people are going to do that. But
yeah, when you call it autopilot, people assume it's completely automatic.
But also, there's videos of Elon Musk in like 2015 saying you're going to completely driverlessly be able to get from Los Angeles to New York by the end of the year.
There's also a lot of video evidence from the past of Elon Musk being a liar.
And yes,
well, that turned out to be a lie. Yes, he's like, I think you're going to be able to do this, and it's like, no, yeah, not
funding
so much.
Secured. So let's not trust him with our lives. How about that? And more bad news for Tesla this week: they've lost an important partner.
Panasonic is ending its solar cell partnership with Tesla. This TechCrunch article doesn't really have any meaty details with this. Like, was there a fight? Was there like a technical disagreement on the thing in the batteries, and they're just like, oh, our partnership has run its course.
Wouldn't it just be like Panasonic might be manufacturing solar cells itself?
Panasonic is laying off a bunch of people, and they weren't interested in taking the people with them, but Tesla is going to interview them and try to find somewhere else for them to go for Tesla. So that tells me that Panasonic is cutting and running. Does that suggest that the technology is crap, or that Panasonic is going a different way?
Now, I don't know this for sure, but I'm just assuming it was probably that Panasonic didn't like Musk's tweets often enough. Mm. And so he was like, well, I can't do business with you. You don't understand me.
I tweeted 300 times last month, and you only liked 10 of them.
What if he employs somebody to give him those kind of stats?
Probably, you know, I mean, he's a programmer. He's probably got like a script that does that. Something. It's probably built into the dashboard of his Cybertruck. So while he's driving around, he gets real time. Communications about that. The EU is this sprawling, disgusting, bloated pig of bureaucracy, and it's shocking when they do something intelligent. And that's why this is shocking, because it's smart.
EU commissioned to their staff, switch to Signal for your internal messaging, the Signal messaging app. So they recognize that Signal actually is fairly well implemented and fairly secure, and more secure than most other ways that the internal staff might be communicating. Certainly, we've learned that, you know, Facebook Messenger probably shouldn't be trusted.
WhatsApp?
Probably also shouldn't be
definitely
trusted.
Definitely being spied upon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole Jeff Bezos thing? Yeah.
So, open source, it is surprising, but let's hope that more places do this. Although, then again, it was really cool when we got those leaked cables because we learned what horrible people that we have in charge. Nothing happened, but it was kind of nice to get that vindication. So maybe we won't get that if they use Signal. I don't know.
It's like traffic light guy. It's like, oh, confirmed. They are not actually trying to make us safer. They just want to make money.
So maybe encryption should be banned for people in power. How about that? There's a radical idea.
You must be extra transparent. Well, that actually is supported by the Supreme Court a little bit. It's like people who have celebrity status are afforded less privacy.
But it's also, you know, do as we say and not as we do. Now, of course, this is the EU. I don't think they've made as many statements about this, but they have talked about the war on encryption. But certainly the U.S. leaders are very serious about encryption not being okay. But you know that they would use the most secure app if they could.
Yeah.
If they knew to, I guess I should say. It's ignorance that stops them, not any sort of, not wanting to be secure. Coronavirus continues to ravage the world. It's getting crazy out there. People are starting to.
What's your stockpile situation?
I got plenty of water, a couple of cans of soup.
I did actually get some extra cases of water.
We did too.
It's getting to that point where it's like, wait a minute, maybe I should just dip my toes in the water here because it's getting weird. And Japan, which does not have a lot of cases, almost all of their cases are from the Diamond Princess cruise ship, but it is starting to spread a little bit, and they're getting worried, and they're starting to take some steps.
Japan urges firms to have staff work from home over the incident. Soccer postponed. I've already mentioned it like 4 or 5 times, and then I just realized it's like...
Yeah, we're going to get demonetized.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's such a stupid thing. Yeah. Like, oh, you're not allowed to talk about that thing that is
that
on
everyone's freaked
every
out about.
Front page news.
Join us on Floatplane or buy a mug.
So Japan is going to host the Olympics in just a short while.
No.
Do you think they'll cancel the Olympics?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
delay it.
If things continue the way they are, have we ever delayed the Olympics in the history of the Olympics?
I think for World War II.
Is it Summer Olympics this year?
Mm-hmm. So, soccer is a big part of that. And apparently, I think Japan's soccer team is like really hopeful this year. And it's getting popular, but now...
They already delayed it. The March soccer matches are already...
Well, that's not Olympic. That's just...
Oh, yeah.
So, a little scary. And we talked about in India, Kashmir, they've turned off the internet. And this is a story that comes up a lot in various places. Africa tends to turn off the internet quite a bit. Where was it they turned it off for the... was it... Myanmar,
yeah,
for the exams. And when this happens, the big tech companies kind of don't say anything because they never like to run afoul of the governments. But for some reason, they don't have that same respect for Pakistan.
Facebook, Google, and Twitter rebel against Pakistan's censorship rules. So they literally just threatened. They're like, okay, we've gotten together. We're going to pull out. We're just going to shut down our services and you're not going to have anything. Is that what you want? Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it. We're going to pull the trigger. We're madmen.
I would say that it might be what the government wants, but that would be a political nightmare if you're the guy who's responsible for me not getting Facebook.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of thing that the lowest of voters can quantify. And hate you for it.
I was making so much money on Facebook Marketplace selling old crap.
Or
I was thinking like, you know, memes, but
yeah, I was hooking up with so many of my old high school classmates. I was having such a good time till you came along.
One of my mom's friends, same age as her, she's like in her low 60s. This woman's retiring, posted a Filthy Frank meme about the coronavirus the other day. And I was like, what weird reality are we in that you're posting Filthy Frank memes? I doubt she knew who it was, but
it's just strange. Funny pictures. That's the thing about memes. You don't have to know what they are to find it entertaining.
Strange.
Did you know that Pepe is a Nazi symbol? It's like, oh no, I just watched the chaos ensue on the Facebook.
I mean, Pepe, the power of Pepe, and that's why I think that's why he's the Hong Kong, you know, icon, is because he's just so adorable. You don't have to know anything about him.
He's adorably imperfect, like all of us.
I mean, he feels bad, man.
Yeah, you can look at him and tell that he's broken on the inside and therefore a kindred spirit.
A lot of people can relate to that. Speaking of censorship, you know, we talked about India and them turning off Kashmir. India is no stranger to censorship. They're a big fan of it. And speaking of targeting big companies and making enemies there, how about Disney?
Disney blocks John Oliver's new episode critical of India's PM Modi. So, yeah, John Oliver did an episode, and it had a number of critical things, and they were like, you know what? Banned. Disney was like, okay, sounds good.
Is Disney trying to, like, get Disney Plus in India right now, or?
Oh, they've got it.
Oh, they already have it?
It's called Hotstar.
Oh.
And they pointed out several other things that have already been banned off of Hotstar, because it's not quite friendly with the ruling party in India. Madam Secretary, I've never heard of. Saudi Arabia. Oh, we talked about the Saudi Arabia guys, Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy.
Who criticized the kingdom's crown prince. That's a no-no, apparently.
So. In the Magic Kingdom, speech is not free.
Don't just disrespect him or he'll saw you into small pieces.
Keep that in mind.
Disney or...
Probably.
The mouse, he would do it.
But while they are busy silencing any form of dissent, what they are not busy censoring is misinformation about the coronavirus.
India is in the middle of a YouTube frenzy about that. And it's going to get people killed because everybody is watching things. Like, the most popular videos on YouTube are incorrect. They're wrong. They're misinformation.
Well, I don't know that we know that they're wrong, but they're not based on any sort of fact. They're just kind of, because we don't know. We're not sure where it came from.
I imagine yet. It's probably a little more scary in India because they've had issues with like swine flu and stuff in the past.
They've had issues with running water.
Well,
but I mean, like, they've actually dealt with some of these flus that have come through in the last few years, and it's like, another one? Damn it. So, like, they're all looking up information about it. So they're easier to get misinformed.
They point out a story here about a guy who, I don't know if he was successful or not, but he had a urinary tract infection, which was making him very sick. And they went through his Google history. He'd been binge-watching these videos. And he was like, oh, I've got it. I'm going to destroy the village. And he tried to kill himself. I don't know if he was successful or not. But they were like, hey, look, we're going to come and get you and take you to the hospital. And he was like, no, stay away. I won't be the one to kill us all. So it does have an effect, I suppose. Although, and this is very apropos to the people watching, if you only get your news from YouTube and don't, like, vet it yourself at all, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Like, favorite, and subscribe.
Twitter has a policy that all presidential candidates for 2020 get a blue check mark on Twitter. They're going to be fair and balanced. Everybody gets a voice, even the non-existent.
A high school student created a fake 2020 candidate and Twitter said, yep, sounds good. Here's your check mark. There you go.
We can't even get a check mark. Tisk, tisk.
Because we don't matter.
We should have run for president. Here he is.
We, just all three of us.
The young whippersnapper. The rapscallion.
You know, he doesn't really look like a whippersnapper or a rapscallion.
So there was another company. Do you remember the name of it? It's where you go to register as a candidate. I don't know if it's official or not. But anyway, he got past them first. So Twitter blamed them for letting him through. Right. And then they went to that company for a statement, and they were like, yeah, we probably should have checked that out. He used the deep fake face generator for his candidate.
That seems like that would have been flagged by some of those things, but okay. I mean, whatever.
Nope.
LinkedIn. Do you use LinkedIn?
No.
Yeah, I've never.
I mean, I really should.
Yeah, I have that thought. It's like, if I ever need to get another job,
it is probably like cost some opportunity from that.
But yeah,
it's so just insidious.
It's such a pile of raw sewage.
It really is
bad. I have one, but like I deleted all my information off of it ages ago.
And there have been times,
but it still like emails me every now and then to be like, someone tried to find you.
Yeah. There have been times where we would work with other companies and I would just constantly get requests from them because everybody's trying to build their network. It's like, I need to build my network.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting worse.
Yeah. Nobody wants stories on their LinkedIn feed. I'm just so here for work, okay? But yeah, LinkedIn, this is a story about, you know, LinkedIn's like trying to be more relevant and trying to be vetting.
It's not social media. It's a job board.
Well, it is now, Krista, because you can post video stories.
Yeah.
Great.
And they talk about how this is all just going to be like PR.
Cake in the conference room.
Yeah.
Hashtag fun workplace.
No, well, some people I know have used it very, like, shockingly effective. Like, some of the people that only work somewhere for 6 months have, you know, used LinkedIn for great effect. And it's like, the one guy is like, I wrote the buttons for this, you know, Fortune 500 company. And so it's like, somehow on LinkedIn that becomes, I was the grand, I was the grand poobah strategy master for this Fortune 500 company. It's like, dude, you
programmed some buttons.
You made the buttons. You made the buttons animated. You're not doing the strategy there. But nobody questions it. And they just, you know, sail all the way to the top. And it's crazy.
Listen, man, buttons are critical infrastructure.
Working on critical infrastructure.
What are you gonna do with that? Meanwhile, yeah. I love this picture.
I do too, because he has a human hand.
Well,
he's a robot with a single human hand.
We don't know how much under that shirt is also human. He's clearly a cyborg, Kristen, not a robot. Jesus.
Oh. A cyborg that needs nicotine desperately.
Because yeah. his lungs might still be human.
He's reading those stories on LinkedIn. And he's just like, I remember when I was human, cared about this stuff.
LinkedIn is absolutely a trash fire, but we seem to be in a situation where a lot of people just don't want to work or can't work or just can't focus on work for a long period of time. So if you're on LinkedIn and it's like, this person is a reliable worker, it's amazing. You get a job.
And it's the perception management.
Yeah.
So much of life is perception management, and it makes me sick, and I'm bad at it. Which makes me even more angry.
I think all of us are really bad at perception yes. management.
And yeah. so it's you just yeah. watch, you know, the emperor walk naked through the town, and you're like, "What? Is nobody going to say anything? Am I crazy?"
How many projects have we done where the people that are running the show have no idea? And it's like, do you have any idea of the work that we did to protect you from yourself? You clearly have no idea.
Or when you're like, oh, we have an opportunity to fix this. And then they ask for your input, and you tell them, hey, this is crap. And then they get angry at you. And it's like, what?
And you make them cry, Chris. Is that what you're getting at? Because we know that you did that. You don't have to brag about it.
I just don't understand it.
In hindsight, the amazing thing was you were exactly right.
Of like, course I was.
No one remembers that, though. And it's just like...
Oh, I think somebody remembers
I remember.
They remember it differently, I think.
Listen, I was probably a little aggressive.
I think there's probably been a couple of fetal positions where that was recalled.
But it's like, I'm not... You know, it's
I'm
like,
not trying to be an asshole. But well, like when you refuse to take any sort of like...
I'm not attacking you personally, but this is like the fourth time this has happened. Just stop trying. Like, let us do our job.
Or, like, you asked for my input. Why did you ask if you didn't want to hear what I had to say?
I'm not
and
attacking.
You just make excuses the whole time.
I'm not attacking you personally, but personally, I think you're an asshole.
I'm going to be real with you. You should kill yourself.
And speaking of harsh statements, the Reddit CEO has lashed out against the evil empire.
Reddit CEO says that TikTok is fundamentally parasitic.
That's kind of bold.
Well, it's that endorphin addiction is what he's talking about. Like, you watch a thing and it's like, you know, it's a looping thing and something happens. It's, I get it.
You mean...
Like Reddit?
Like Reddit Gold and upvotes and...
Reposts and...
Yeah.
I think you just get a feeling of power whenever you get one of these little tiny microphones.
Those are like $900. They are crazy expensive.
They look like they'd be tasty.
It does look
like a little piece of candy just hovering right outside your mouth.
A little Captain Crunch pellet is what it looks like.
I think those are made by like one, you know, 90-year-old jeweler in rural Italy that's probably already been killed by that thing that we can't talk about.
The disease.
Remember when Facebook had that SDK? And it caused a lot of problems and fundamentally changed the whole privacy world. Yeah. Well, it turns out they weren't the only one that had a nasty SDK that operated on Facebook.
Facebook is suing the SDK maker for secretly harvesting user data. Data analytics firm One Audience allegedly paid app developers to include its SDK in their code so that it could harvest data from Facebook users. I thought that was like the thing. Like I've actually worked on two applications that use this API, and it was a good deal for developers. Like if you had a popular app, they would just reach out and say, "Hey, include our SDK. We'll give you analytics." And it's like Google Analytics for apps, even before Google Analytics for apps was a thing. And it was a good deal. Like they would actually pay you, and they would keep paying you. And it was not apparent to the developers. I wasn't the primary developer on either of those projects, but it wasn't apparent, I think, in integrating that they were doing nefarious things. It looked like they were providing analytical data to the application developer, but I guess they were also keeping it and aggregating it for themselves, which in hindsight makes sense.
It's good business as long as you can get away with it, but now they've been banned.
Was that not part of the deal? I mean, I thought Facebook would be in on that. Like,
well, Facebook has to be thinking, if we can't do this, you can't do this. Come on. Who do you think you are? And other bad news. Well, let's go back to calling it the Wu-Tang virus.
There you go.
The Wu-Tang. If you've entered the 36 chambers of upper respiratory infection, then you know how bad it is and why this might be a good decision.
Facebook canceled the F8 developer conference due to coronavirus concerns. F8 is the latest major event to be canceled. F8 didn't really measure on my radar, but several other events have been canceled, like the game developers thing and the Mobile GDC. World Congress. And
yeah, people just aren't getting together.
People aren't getting together, but then you get that weird email that's like, are you going there anyway? We can meet at the hotel. And it's like,
we're going to pass around a joint and then lick each other.
Just it's like, listen, we got this non-refundable airfare. We're just going to send our sales team and they're just going to have a vacation.
Let's pack ourselves into a tiny tube. Breathe the same air for a while. Did you see, so the whole Christian cult thing, that story is playing out more. And South Korean government, I don't know if this is true, I saw a headline, is apparently seeking the death sentence for the organizer.
Wow.
Because he has caused such a spread of the virus.
There's part of me that, when reading those stories, makes me wonder if they were just not happy with that group either. Like, anyway.
Well, no, I think that's a given because they were operating in secret for a reason.
Yeah, so now it's like, oh, now we have an excuse that we can... execute them, but
we had a death here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it was in Washington, right?
Yeah, and there are several more cases, kind of a lot of cases, coming out of Washington now, and none of those people have traveled internationally and have no obvious connections.
That's three unconfirmed, or not unconfirmed, but what's the word they use where there's no connection to anyone who's traveled?
Yeah,
it's just
the guy
unconnected.
I don't know where
the guy who passed away. I think was like 50 something and immunocompromised in some way, but
yeah, it's. But it's still, even if it's not going to kill you, the fact that it's going to use you as a vector to someone it can kill.
Yeah.
It's alarming. So, Facebook, we talked about Facebook stealing your data, and they have not stopped doing that.
We covered this story last week.
Oh.
Did we?
We did.
We did.
There's two new pieces of information in this story, though.
Isn't the dollar value new?
No.
I have no memory of this. I know, that's good.
Looking for new ways to make it even worse every week.
Facebook would have to pay $3.50 a month for U.S. users for sharing their contact info.
So was it the voice thing? Is that what you're thinking of?
They're talking about where it's like different for every country?
Yes. That's what's new.
Yeah. So,
by contrast, people wanted to be paid only $1.82 per month to share location data. So.
But we got to say again, you always have to give this disclaimer, and I know I say it every time, this is people willing to do a phone survey.
Yeah.
So I got to think that people sitting around with nothing better to do than take a phone survey are like, give me a couple of bucks, whatever. I got nothing better to do.
I got my new clamshell phone, and I've been experimenting with Android development, and I've got an Android application that fakes GPS location, but also lets me see what applications are requesting your location more transparently than the Android API. Oh my God. Like even just like office applications are like, hey, I need to know your location. It's like, no, you don't. You don't need that. Why are you asking? Stop that.
They want it.
Another thing that Facebook gives people that is making us more stupid as a society are video filters. Oh, they're fun and hilarious, aren't they? Oh,
everyone post one.
Yeah, such a good time. Until you accidentally turn them on and you need to do something in your professional life.
A reporter accidentally turns on Facebook filters before going live.
How professional is a live stream? Didn't this happen to the Japanese government?
Yeah, there was a guy.
Oh, those are good.
They are great at what they do, aren't they? So we had no idea that during the entire newscast... filters were. Did they just cycle randomly?
I think
someone had to have known, right? Like
I'm genuinely impressed that mobile phones have gotten to the point where it's like we're just going to use that for field reporters. Just stick your mobile phone on a selfie stick, and we'll just use that.
Well, it might have been a situation where he was just in the area and didn't have a camera crew or something. Oh, it doesn't look too bad. I mean, here's the video. Or not.
As it loads forever.
Sorry.
Ooh, any second now.
I mean, that video looks pretty good. That's a great one.
The googly eyes.
You know, at the same time, WLOS ABC 13 If they did this on purpose, that was a master PR move.
It really was.
Yeah.
Who's ever heard of them? And now they're getting a ton of attention.
Best thing I've seen today, says Regina.
Our ad revenue is up 8,000% because...
Yeah.
Oh, we should do that by accident on the news.
You think you could do 3 filters at once?
No.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. Well, phones can. I don't know about the Facebook filter thing, but like I've seen like kids take pictures together.
There's got to be an OBS filter for that, right? There's FaceRig for Steam, but I don't know if it can handle 3 at once.
We'll have to splice 3 camera streams together just so we can get those hot filters.
All right, what are we working on tomorrow?
We'll do business, which is a massive load of business tomorrow. And one of the smaller ones. It'll be either security or robot.
Stay tuned, chat.
Whee.
Bye.